Good morning.
Happy Sabbath to all of you. It's great to be here today. This is the day that the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. This is a wonderful day, and thank you so much to Rebecca, Cameron, Jonathan, the worship team, for leading us in that worship, and thank you, Aaron, for the message that you gave to us today. It's so applicable for what season we're in as a church right now and what we've been asking, A couple weeks ago, I gave a message that Grace referenced in her announcements today that I'd love for you to listen to it because I think it's important that there are moments and times in our lives where we need to seek in and press into God more further, and that's why we're setting the 22nd, this coming Monday, aside as a day of prayer. You can show up here at 8:30, you can stay at 8 till 8 o'clock, or you can show up any time in between. So if you have 30 minutes, if you have an hour, if you have 5 hours, 10 hours, the whole day, I'm going to be here the whole day. You are welcome to be here the whole day. If you can't make it Monday, you're like, oh, I wish you would have done it tomorrow, I will be here tomorrow to prepare for Monday. So if you want to come and pray tomorrow, I will be here tomorrow too. So throwing that out. And then Chalk and Kim said, hey, could we be here on January 2nd at 1 in the afternoon? I will be here then too. So if you want to come January the 2nd in the afternoon. Because the heart where we are right now, and I feel that just as a pastor of this church, is that we need to be pressing in more to the Lord, because when there is evidences and fruit that is not healthy, where there are critiques, where there is gossip, where there is resentment, where there is a lack of unity, where there is a lack of working together, and not coming to every doctrinal agreement, but coming to a unity of the faith, a unity of the spirit, a unity in love for one another, which truly unites us, where there is any lack, we need to keep pressing in. And frankly, we are always being challenged, and we need constant breakthrough. We are born again, and then we're born again, and then we're born again, and again, and again, and again, because we're facing the challenge of going from a molded creation of carnality to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And until we arrive and see him face to face, we are in a constant process of being born again and regenerated again. So we can't just sit back and say, we want to be the complacent Christian. That actually isn't the way Christians are. Christians are engaged with the Lord Jesus Christ because of our love for him and because of our faith in him. And so today we're going to specifically talk about seeking God's face. To seek God's face. And what does that mean, and how do you do it? Now, sometimes I have people talk to me about, hey, you know, how do you pray, or how can you pray? How could you be here for 12 hours and pray all day? Or how does that even look? How would I even spend an hour seeking God? No matter where you are, I'm going to tell you, I've already been there. I've been to where I couldn't pray for 5 minutes, where I couldn't spend time with the Lord because everything felt like a roadblock. Like I would kneel down to pray, and before I knew it, I was thinking about the work I had to do, or, you know, the ball game I wanted to watch, or whatever other distraction might have been. And there's a process here, and really, it's so interesting. And one of the reasons I wanted Aaron to share his message today is because rapport with people is important to going deeper and being able to minister. So is rapport with God. If you don't know him, how can you minister to him? How can you serve him? How can you honor him? And so what seeking his face is about is coming near to him to know who he is. So we're going to talk about that today, and I'm going to try to give you some practical application of what you can actually do if you do not feel that you know what this road is. So, and a shame on me as a pastor if I never took you down this road with me, because it's been a long time developing in my life to come to the point where I was able to do this when God started to call me deeper. But the first thing that you will see in the scripture is there's this phrase, set your heart to seek the Lord. Set your mind to seek the Lord, that you need to actually have a preparation to do this. And so, like, it says in scripture that they heard this word and they set their mind, or they set their heart to seek God. We're setting it to seek God on the 22nd here together, to seek his face. But how do we actually do this? The very first thing that we need to do when we come to seek the Lord is we need to be determined and expectant. Determined and expectant. We set our minds and we are determined to enter into his presence by Jesus. He says, come boldly in Hebrews chapter 10. Come boldly through the veil, that is through Christ, to enter into his presence. We come to dwell with him. So our intention would be, hey, I'm not doing my normal routines today. I'm going to come here, and my whole heart, God, is I just want to enter into your presence, and I want to dwell with you. We want to seek his face, to see him as he is. We're looking for more of him, and as we come near, we have an expectation. God says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. If you seek me, you will find me. We come not without faith. Actually, it is faith that drives us to set time aside to say, I need to seek your face. We as a church need to seek your face. We need you in this place, God. We need you in our individual lives, our family lives, as a community here. And we need you for the community at large, that we might be vessels that honor you and bring about this relationship with you. We look to receive revelation. We're determined, God, that you will give us revelation of who you are. Because the better we understand God, the more perfectly we can worship him. If we create God in our own image, we'll be off course, but we come to receive revelation of who he is. We come to hear his judgments and his thoughts. David said, a day with you is better than 1,000 other days. To be in your courts, just to hear your judgments, your thoughts, God. Come determined to hear his judgments and hear his thoughts. To just sit in that holy place and sit with him and just hear what God thinks and to learn of his ways. What is it that God wants to show us about his ways? And then simply to love and worship him. And ultimately, seeking God's face is building a rapport with God that we understand that our God created us, he loves us, and that he wants us near. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. We must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. As a church, what reward do we want? There is no greater thing that can happen to this church or in any group of people other than the presence of God being so manifest that people are impacted, where there is the preaching of the good news, the sharing of it, where there is brokenheartedness that's being healed, where there are the oppressed being set free, where the captive is let go, where those who are heavy laden are relieved of their burdens. And this comes from a power of ministry. It is not by a man-made work. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ himself said when he came back from fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, it says he returned in the power of the Lord and stood among them and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captive free, to relieve those who are burdened. You and I have the same ministry, the ministry of Christ through us to each other and to others that come. But for that to happen, there has to be a realization that we cannot do that apart from God's presence manifesting through us, in us, to each other and to others. Because when we see each other as God sees all of us, all of our hearts are changed. Amen. See, if I can look at Pino and see Pino the way our Father in Heaven sees Pino, it gives me a deeper sense of love, thankfulness, appreciation. It helps me see I never want to hurt Pino. I only want to be on his side. I only want to have that. And I want that for all of us. So if I look at Jonathan and Stacy, if I look at Bill and Gretchen, if I look at Chuck and Kim, if I look at my wife Stephanie, and I get to see her a lot, and that we have this love of God coming out. See, when we are acquainted with God's presence and we start to hear from God and we understand his thoughts toward each other, it binds us together. The unification that we have is not just that we are geographically in the same place today. The connection that we have is because of a rapport that we have with God and a rapport then that we have with each other, because I can look and say, God died for you, Grace. Christ gave up his life for you. And if Christ gave up his life for you, what should my approach be to you? And I can look at Denise right behind you. I can look at James. I can see who you are, and I can say, Christ died for you. So that should bring us to a place where we have what Aaron was talking about, the rapport that we have with each other, a spirit of hospitality where we care for each other, where we invite people into our lives. And it goes much deeper than just being in the same area. And so this work happens by faith. Notice when Jehoshaphat got the news that he was in trouble, his example was that he feared what was going to happen, and he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. I'll tell you one of my biggest fears in life, for me personally and for this church as a whole, is that God would not be here in me and in us. Because going through the motions is a waste of time. Playing religious games is a waste of time. It's just vanity. It's deceitful. It doesn't mean anything. The truth is that as God comes into our lives, he wants to take the prominent place, knowing for our own good that if he is our God, he can make everything happen. We are never without. We are never empty when God is in us. And so if we know we have him, we have everything. And when God first called me, he gave me this dream when I was in Argentina. I was ministering of God just pulling away. And it was such a powerful prayer and powerful dream. And I can remember it here, 30 years later, like it was yesterday, because God was just saying, you never want me to go. And he said, all it takes is neglect of me to leave people. He said in his word, what did he say? If you forsake me, I'll forsake you. He is always here for us, but he is saying, I'm here. Are you here? And so when we come to seek God's face, we're saying, God, I hear you and I know that you're here. I'm here too. We sang the song, the Lord is here. The Lord is in this place. Yes, he is. It's not a matter of where the Lord is. It's a matter of where we are. We seek to find him not because he is lost, but because we are lost. We seek to find him, and we are the ones that are having the issues coming into relationship with him. Why? Because lawlessness abounds, and love grows cold. Whether the lawlessness we have done, whether the lawlessness done against us, all the carnality, all the ways, all the selfishness, all the self-absorption that we have as human beings keep us from intimacy with the Almighty. God is saying, I want intimacy with you. And so just like you come with your friend, you have different times. You might have days where you're kind of more passing with a friend. Maybe you say hello and you kind of move on. Maybe you get a 5-minute conversation, a 10-minute. But there are times that you just need time with the Lord to intentionally say, I'm setting my heart on you and that's it. I don't want the other stuff. I'm setting my heart for you today. Or for this hour, or for whatever it might be. And so he did this. But when he did it, he also called together the people of Judah to come together and say, we need the Lord because the enemy is looking strong against us, and we need to go against the spirits that we battle. For we do not battle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. That these things need to be come against. And you do that by seeking the Lord and drawing upon him and his strength for you. Notice also in Ezra 8, it said, I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him the right way for us, our little ones, and all our possessions. This verse so closely relates to what I desire for us to be doing on Monday. What is the right way for us, God? For us, for our little ones, for the possessions that we have here collectively as a church, how are we using them? Is this what you want this to be? Do you want it to be something different? What do we need to be doing even here with this church and this property? How do we use it for your glory? How do we use it to honor you and serve you? What are we doing for ourselves? Are we walking in the right way? Is our passion for you where it needs to be? Are we devoted in our time and energy to you, God? And I think that when you come, you just put it all on the table and say, God, I'm yours. What do you want from me? And as a church, we seek and we say, God, what do you want from us? So powerful to come before the Lord. Now, one of the first ways that I want to talk about we end up seeking is with song and praise and with worship. We begin every service when you come here, you will hear a song first. We enter his gates with praises and thanksgiving. And we worship and sing before the message that we hear. We always have a time of worship and song and praise. But I want us to think about, why does God even care if we sing? Why does God care that there would be music, that we would have stringed instruments, or that we would have the percussion? Why does God talk about it? Why does God care? Wouldn't just saying things be enough? And I think it's a very interesting thing that we see in Scripture too. When Elisha was asked to come and minister, he says, but now bring me a musician. And then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Is this such a powerful thing to understand? And I want you just to think about how even the world understands this. Music does not make a connection with you intellectually. It makes a connection with you emotionally. And sometimes we value the intellect and the part of our brain that is very logical and can, you know, do the calculations and the equations and the processes. And we value that and we dismiss the very first thing that God said, you would love me with all your heart. The seat of emotion. Your heart is the seat of emotion. It is where you basically have the essence of your being. And what music does is it communicates, it bypasses logic. It goes right to where God designed your brain and my brain, to the limbic system that basically is about emotion. It's about recollection, memory, the things that you experience in your life that are beautiful and wonderful or hurtful and sorrowful, and how all that mixes together. And it comes into your areas of reward and pleasure in your brain. God fearfully and wonderfully made you to experience emotion. But do you know what emotion requires? Vulnerability. So a lot of us, when we experience lawlessness, and when God says, because lawlessness abounds in Matthew 24, that love grows cold, we like, I don't want to be vulnerable. I have a friend who for many years who basically suffered a pretty hard life. And it was ugly and it was nasty. And where he grew up, he was very involved, you know, fighting and being angry. And you kind of had to be mean and prideful to even kind of survive it the way he felt as he went through it. And we were together and we put on some worship music and he started to go down that road of doing it for a little while and then he said, I can't. I'm like, what do you mean you can't? He says, I don't like music. I'm like, you don't like music? I don't like the way it makes me feel. Because what music, if used in a godly and right way, what it does is it breaks down the barriers that you've been building emotionally and the things that you set up because I've been hurt by people, I've been hurt in relationships, I've been putting up these barriers now for a while because they protect me. They protect me from who I am. And ultimately, the biggest inhibitor of God in our lives is us. Because we start responding with what keeps us safe. We try to protect our hearts. We try not to feel the emotion and the pain and the sorrow and even the joy sometimes that God wants to bring into our lives because we built these walls because I don't want to feel the emotion. But what that does is it completely cuts off a whole part of you, which is your vulnerability before God, the ability to say, I surrender, I submit. I look to you as my God. You are my defender. You are my protector. And so God even says, who am I? He says, I am the Lord your God.
merciful, gracious, compassionate. I am the God who is long-suffering. Even in the prayer in the Gospels, it talks about how God suffers long with us, that sometimes he delays in answering, but he is suffering long with us because he's bringing us to a better place through it. But if we close ourselves off to our own relationship, to be vulnerable before God, to be open to God, if we say, I don't want that, we develop a hard shell and God's trying to come in and we're like, well, I don't hear from God, but do you want to hear from God? Because if you want your own will, God gives you the dignity to choose your own will, your own path, your own plan over his. He gives you the dignity to choose it, even though everything that God knows, everything he reveals in his word, that is not the way for us humanly. He made us, he knows us, he knows what we need. We need hearts that are open to him. And it's so beautiful. He says, if you would enter into the kingdom of God, become like a little child. How restrictive are little children when they're excited or happy or joyful or unhappy, right? I mean, I see kids, you know, when I'm out and about, sometimes having a tantrum with their parents. They do things that most of us don't do anymore, right? I mean, if I fell down on the ground and started kicking and pounding the ground and screaming and crying, you'd be like, what's wrong with that guy? You see a kid do it, you're kind of like, well, maybe something's wrong. But still, you're kind of like, you get it. Like, the emotions are unrestrained. Now, God wants us to have the beauty of emotion and the emotion following truth. That's very important. Sometimes we make sentimental false things. God wants us to come to the truth. So what does he say? I want you to worship me in spirit. Exactly. And so having that heart comes out when we look to God and we understand that he wants to bring this out of us. Now, I have found that breaking down the heart with music is a very powerful thing and in worship. And I want to just go through some snippets here with you. But when we look at the songs and we just listen, the point of using worship, the point of why Elisha said, bring me a musician, is because we want something of God. When Saul was struggling, when the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, remember, and then David got anointed king, it says a distressing spirit would come upon Saul. That void was being filled by another spirit. But yet, they would call David to play the stringed instrument, and all of a sudden, Saul would become refreshed and well. Refreshed and well. So you and I should also understand that God put this in his word for us. Scientifically, this is very provable. There's tremendous therapy through music, and it's very well documented in the sciences. But that the distressing spirit would leave him. And so what do we want to do? We want to break down that which keeps us from coming to God, to have a spirit where we're willing to humble ourselves, to be of a poor and contrite spirit, and to come before our God and let him in. And so sometimes we can look at music as what we sing or what we do, but it's actually more about allowing the truth of the lyrics and the emotion of the music to penetrate us. And it's not always so much about what we're pushing out, but as like even as we were ministered today, to letting it come in and letting it impact us. Because the point of the worship music is not to see how well you can sing the song, how well you're in tune as you're entering in, but rather to draw near to God. It is a way to allow yourself to become vulnerable before God, to allow the emotion of the joy, the expressions of worship, and even the sadness and the sorrow to come out, to let God heal you through the worship of him. And so there's a whole part of this that I want to share. Now, I'm just going to go through some songs. But one of the things is that as you listen, I just want you to listen. And if you want to start singing, great. If it leads you to start praying, great. But I'm asking you to give your full attention to just what this is. Allow yourself to be moved emotionally and allow the words to have impact on you.
Where will you run, my soul? Where will you go when wells run dry? And when the wind starts to blow, how you gonna keep this flame alive? In the fading light when night is breaking, I know you will always be waiting. You'll always be there. I'm running to the secret place where you are, where you are. I'll sing to you of all the ways you stole my heart, stole my heart. Better is a moment that I spend with you than a million other days away. I'm running to the secret place. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Just open yourselves up to God. Just let your whole being worship.
You are worthy of it all.
Just love on your Lord.
You are worthy of it all.
God, you are so worthy.
For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
As we praise him, we claim the promises that we have in his word. Expression of faith that we have for him.
Blessed assurance.
Totally secure in his
Jesus
love.
Jesus is my. He's been my fourth man in the fire time after time. Born of his spirit. Washed in his. Trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior.
For the promise of you.
Just right now, just draw near to him and just
never let me
ask him just to come and abide in you and just bless you with his presence.
I lay it all down again.
Surrender everything, lay everything down.
To hear you say that I'm your friend.
Put all your trust that you can be vulnerable
you
before
are
him.
My desire.
To know he is your everything and all of your desire.
No one else will do.
No one and nothing else is going to do.
Because nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you.
Just let your heart open up and just express to him from your own heart what you desire.
You're all I want, you Lord. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Oh Spirit, come make us humble.
Just make your deeper covenant with
we
him.
Turn our eyes
to turn all of our attention onto him and away from everything of this world.
Lord, we cast down our idols. So give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. And give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks, who seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks, who seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob.
So in this process of just opening up your heart to God, allow just the sense of the worship and the music to impact you. And just allow him to have his place and express. Let the songs transform your heart and let your heart just speak the things that you want to God.
Out of the depths I cry to you. In darkest places I will call. Incline your ear to me anew and hear my cry for mercy, Lord. Were you to count my sinful ways, how could I come before?
feels like the whole atmosphere in here has changed. There's a power that when you open your heart and your mind to God, it changes everything. And it changes our attitudes. It changes the way we view each other. It changes the way we are as people. Because what is happening is we are crucifying the flesh and all that it does to try to preserve itself. And it crushes it. And what we're doing is we're yielding ourselves to God and His Spirit. And it's in this place that God loves to come dwell. And He loves to speak and direct and reveal Himself to us. And so when you spend time, like we're going to spend time seeking God, having a large portion of that just be allowing ourselves to open our hearts to seek His face in song and in praise and in thanksgiving, and allowing our hearts to be vulnerable before Him and to acknowledge His greatness, but also to confess our commitment, our covenant to Him, that I will surrender all, that I will choose You first. And God is looking for a people that will choose Him first. Jesus said, I come. If you seek to save your life, lose it. He said, lose it for My sake. And so seeking God is really about losing our lives for His sake and being willing to lay down our time, our energy, our resources, what we have for the glory of the Lord. Because we believe in the eternal purpose and the eternal inheritance that is promised to us in the Scriptures. And so we do that. Now, as this opens up our heart, I want to show you another way that really opens the heart, and that is we seek by opening our hearts to Him and seeking Him in prayer. So we seek Him intentionally, declaring our intentions to draw near to Him and confessing our need for Him. If you want to turn to Psalm 27, or if you just want to listen to me read these, but I want to read from Psalm 27, and I'm going to begin in verse 4. One of the ways that I learned to enter in was through worship. That's what broke me down. Through the music and the words, hearing the Spirit and the truth together, it would just lay me in a way that I didn't understand. But when I started doing it, I started to understand what was happening. And then, of course, looking in the Scriptures, you see how important music is. God knows how to hit us at the emotional level, at the intellectual level, at the spiritual level. But He wants us to understand, like, His Word is not just something we read about somebody else. His Word is a deliverance to us. It is something that shapes us. It's not just about what we read in others. It's an invitation for intimacy with the Almighty that He's saying, come near to Me. So when we read the Bible and we pray, it becomes a very powerful thing. And what energized my relationship in a completely different way, but yet very much the same, is just praying the Bible. Letting God lead. So just as a worship song can stir your heart and then send you on a prayer, which it should do. See, we hit worship here as a community when we come together and just let God lead us where He wants to take us. And the team that puts together the worship music, that it just leads us to a different place. It's not about making sure you sing every word. It's about making sure you're singing to Him what is from your heart and opening yourself up. Because the whole goal is to hear what God's singing over us. It says in the book of Zephaniah, He sings over us. We want to keep singing and worshiping and praising till we are so quiet and our flesh is so silenced that all we hear is what God is singing over us. And we want to hear His song and His will and His purpose and His delight. And God does love to share what He thinks of us. He does want to open it up, but we have to silence the flesh. We have to crucify the flesh. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And when we have this hope and this heart, then we can come into a chapter like Psalm 27 here, beginning in verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And you read these words of David, and as you read them, you stop wherever you want to stop. You get inspired wherever. One thing, God, one thing I've desired. And you just allow your heart to open up in all this submission and humility before him and say, you're the only thing I want, God. If I don't have you, I am empty. If I don't have you, I am nothing. If you are not fundamentally, foundationally in me and invading every part of my life, coming when I'm rising up in the morning and when I'm, you know, in thinking about my health or in my marriage or in my relationships or in everything, God, I need you everywhere. You are my all in all. And you just allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. God says that we don't know how to pray as we ought, but that he blesses us with the Spirit. It says in Romans 8 that the Spirit would make utterance. But what is amazing is when you submit to God and you ask for this help, the words that are written will hit your heart. And as you ask God, bring out the prayer in me, God, the Spirit will lead you in your own deeper prayer. And one little line can send you flying in prayer and opening up your heart. And so the reason you devote time is you're saying, nothing else matters. One thing I've desired, that I will seek, that I may dwell in your house, that I may behold your beauty, that I may inquire of you in your temple. And see, this beautiful invitation is for us right here, right now. It's all the time. It's always available. God's door is always open. The veil has been torn. And we enter through the veil, that is through Christ, into the Holy of Holies. And God says, I want you. I want your time. And God is saying, I'm giving you my time. My time is here for you. Think of that humility that God shows us, that he is always ready and available for love, for forgiveness, for comfort, for provision, for protection. God's always there. His attention is on his children. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you would visit him? And yet, that's who our God is. The question is not whether God wants to visit. The question is not whether God wants to pour out more of his glory. The question is not whether God wants to develop us and create in us this new person. It's a matter of whether we want it and whether we submit. And if we will humble ourselves in belief and surrender to be vulnerable to our God. And so speaking these words like David did gives you the start to keep going forward. And so he says, for in the time of trouble, verse 5, he shall hide me in the pavilion in the secret place of his tabernacle. He will hide me and shall set me high upon a rock. If you drop down with me to verse 7, it says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy upon me and answer. When you said, seek my face, my heart said, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me or forsake me, O God of my salvation. For when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. And so when you read these verses, just let your heart flow. Go off course at any moment and just let God take you. And pray whatever you pray, and then maybe you come back, or maybe you don't, but you come back at some point and just let another line, let another part of God's word open you up to pray. And then like in verse 4, he said in verse 13, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen you. Wait, I say. And so tell God, I will wait on you. If every day of my life I have to spend seeking and pursuing you, I will. I wait on you for what you will to do in your time and in your purpose. See, we are not here to manipulate God. We're asking God to truly reshape us. And we're trying to come into his will And the thing that's so amazing in life is that he created us on purpose, for reason, for thought. He created us to be engaged in this with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, everything to the Lord, that we would be his and that we would be coming after him. Notice here in verse, when it comes to pursuing him, notice in Psalm 63, verse 1. Notice in Psalm 63, verse 1. And if you come on Monday, I'll have a list of these kind of chapters and verses on the whiteboards here, so you can have available. You could spend the whole day through worship and through prayer of the scriptures if you so desire. In Psalm 63 and in verse 1, O God, you are my God, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. There is no greater desire I have for this church than to see God here in this sanctuary, that when people come in, they are ministered to, that all of us, when we come in, that God's power and glory would be resting in this place, and that he would be ministering to heart and mind, spirit and body, that physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, we would be enriched by him. And if I don't know what the higher purpose is for us to have than to know the presence of the Lord among us, and to be a part of making the sacrifices of the work that is spoken of in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, to seek his face, to find him, to know that he is with us when we are with him, and to know that our work will be rewarded. That's what Hebrews 11:6 is saying. He says, without faith it's impossible to please him. You must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If we really believe he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, we will be diligently seeking him, and this will be a part of the culture of this church. He says, my house is a house of prayer. My house is a house of prayer because my people desire to be near me and come near to me. And this is not just about adults. Kids can take part in all this too. Kids can pray, kids can worship, kids can be drawing near to God, and in many ways it's easier for them because they don't have as much gunk and as much wall building and barriers and protecting of the emotion and the self and the heart. Kids are available. That's why God says to us, Jesus said, you got to become like a little child. Unless you become like a little child, you won't enter. We have to break down all the walls that have separated us from God out of fear of hearing from him. We must not be afraid of God or the direction of his will in our lives. We must have faith in him and to seek him, for he is holy. Psalm 139, and I know I'm going a little long here, but I wanted to have Aaron speak today, and so I won't go too much longer. But like a psalm, like 139, if you come before the Lord seeking him, and how you set your heart and start pursuing him, you say, O Yahweh, you have searched me and known me and know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways. There's not even a word that comes onto my tongue, but Lord, you know it all together. In other words, before I even speak, you already know what I'm going to say. See, this heart of seeking God is acknowledging his greatness and perfection of knowing all things about us, that we know him perfectly. And the invitation is, God, you know me perfectly. Therefore, I can trust in you. Therefore, I can surrender to you and be vulnerable before you. But God, I pray, reveal yourself to me. Let me know you as I am known by you. That's the promise in 1 Corinthians 13. That when we no longer see through a glass darkly, that we will know him as he knows us. And this is the desire and the yearning that we would. This is why Paul said, I count everything about my life that I thought was good. The fact that I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees, I'm perfect when it comes to obeying the law. He said, I count it all as dung, as loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. He said, I give all to know you and the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering. Why? Because he saw the glory of God and he knew this is what he needed in his life. He wasn't going to be afraid of the suffering. He wasn't going to be afraid of the revelation. He wasn't going to be afraid to give up his own reputation, his own honor, his own dignity, whatever he or anyone else might have thought that was. He gave all for Christ. And that's what God is wanting from us. We will only find his face as we lay our lives down before him. We will not see him. God said, no man can see me and live. No man can see me and live. For you and I to see God, we have to die to ourselves. We cannot follow him if we will not die to ourselves. And we have to trust that giving up our own will, as Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done, to have the trust in our God that he loves us, that he would never do anything hurtful or harmful, that he wouldn't have that. Because you realize in seeking God, the difficulty we have in seeking God and actually breaking down our flesh before him, crucifying ourselves to hear from him, it's because we are afraid. It's because we're unsure. It's because we've been hurt so much that we build a barrier even to God. Can you trust God with your life? Can you really, truly, from the depth of your heart, say, whatever you want, I want. Whatever you will, I will. Whatever you would do with me and with us as a church, whatever it is, no matter how you want to be here, God, all we want is you. So when we come together on Monday, these are things, and there are plenty of other ways to seek God's face that I'm not going to take time for now, but in the way that you fellowship with one another, in the way that you would take time to serve one another, that you could be thinking of other people, that you could express out who God is as you allow him to work and open yourself up. There's many things. It could be kneeling. It could be standing. It could be dancing. It could be out on the playground. Allow God to move you, but don't take your mind off the prize. If you're going to seek the Lord, set your heart to seek him. Put away everything else and put your attention onto him. And allow God to move you into a different place. And don't let go of the expectation that you have to hear from God, to see a deeper revelation of God, and to draw near to him and to your brethren. One of the beautiful things you could do when you come on Monday is you could just say, I'm going to mentally do a walk through this congregation, and I'm going to just start praying. I'm going to pray for Aaron and Jonathan and Stacy. I'm going to pray for both of them and their families and pray with interest, and just, you could go right up the line. Look where people sit. People generally sit in the same spots. One of the best things you can do is just walk these aisles and pray down the aisles for all the people for where they sit. Because God wants that. I'm asking you to join in that cause. See yourself as one who brings edification and love to the body. To have rapport, to have a heart of prayer, to lay down yourself for each other. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for life and that you have given us all the opportunity to come near to you, that you called us, that you chose us, and you chose us even before we existed, before the foundation of the world, to be appointed to come and to stand before you, to worship you, to be found holy and acceptable in your sight, to find ourselves blessed with a name that you have given, that we were baptized into, your holy name, Father, that you gave us the right to become children, your children, that you gave us the right to be brothers and sisters with Jesus Christ, our Savior and our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords, our God. And God, we thank you so much, Holy Father, that you have given us the vision and the calling to even pursue after you. And God, I pray that you would help us to see that all the things of this world will fade away if we set our heart on you. That all the things that we have that could bring us against one another in any way, God, all fall apart when we are set on you. And I pray, God, that you would set our hearts and our minds to seek your face, to give you glory and honor and praise, to give you thanksgiving and adoration. I pray that we as a church would be made by you what you want us to be, and I pray that you would increase us in our humility before you and each other, that we would submit to you and to each other, that we would surrender, God, to be vulnerable before you, and that we would be available to each other, that we would have a depth of rapport and care and concern for others. For God, how is it that we could be a church and not be loving you or each other? I pray, God, that you would deepen us in this time of seeking. And I pray, God, that you would not just make it about one day, but you would just drive into us as we come into this period for our church, that you would help us to seek you and your loving presence. And we confess to you that we have not been faithful in the way we have treated each other. We have not been faithful in the way that we have interacted and that we have rooted for each other. And we need faithfulness, not to the things of this world, but to you, Holy Father, and to you, Lord Jesus. And so for where we have fallen short, forgive us our sins. Cleanse us. Cleanse our hands and our hearts and our minds. Forgive us our iniquity and our sin, God, that we could always be pursuing after you and the testimony and the perfection that is found in your Son, Jesus, and you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for leading us to the Father. And we find our place. We find our place in you. You are who we desire. One thing we desire, and that we will have, that we will dwell with you all the days of our lives. I just pray that this time of seeking would be blessed by you, and that you would be merciful to us, and that you would be kind to us, and that you would speak to us and reveal yourself to us. We want you more and more and more till the day that we see you face to face. We love you, Holy Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. And we are so thankful that you have poured out your Holy Spirit into our lives to lead us, to guide us, to pray for us, and to teach us things to come, and to teach us the things of you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. We truly, truly love you, and we are so humbled before you, and we desire even more humility till all of our flesh is broken down, until nothing stands in your way, till we hear your song being sung over us, O God, in Jesus' name.